Try that again. Good morning and greetings to you all. I'm glad to be here. Part of me is glad to be here. I'm glad to be here with you. I left my family this morning because they were sick, and so I left them at home. And most of them are a bit under the weather, so to speak. Most of them have fever. That's the main thing, fevers and some coughs as well. So that's why I'm here by myself this morning. And that's why Jaden's here by himself with me. So his family's also not feeling so good. So anyway, just want to welcome everyone here this morning. Just I know there's a lot of sickness going around, so hope you all don't get sick. But the rest of you, I'm probably going to leave just pretty directly after the service so I don't spread any germ to you all. So I feel fine, but I don't want to spread it because I'm in with many others that are not so well. So this morning, I'd like to preach on a vessel unto honor, taken from 2 Timothy chapter 2. And maybe before we begin with that, let's just bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, we do just humbly come before you this morning. God, we find ourselves in deep need, great need of you, Lord. And God, we thank you that you are a faithful God, a true God, and Lord, you are able to meet our needs, Lord. God, you're not so far removed from us. You're not so, Lord, even though you are far above us, you are willing to identify yourself and to come down with us or to humble yourself in a way that you can be with us and Lord, that you can help us out of our need, Father. Lord, we just thank you and praise you that we can look to you. You are our life, our hope, our strength. I pray this morning that you would just take the few words that I share, Lord, that they could, God, that you would just fill my mouth with your words, that you would take this time just that we have here to honor and glorify yourself, Lord. Thank you, God, for the privilege of being here. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. A vessel unto honor. Like I said, it's found in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And here in the front here you see I have two vessels. And I'm not trying to make the comparison here like it does exactly in 2 Timothy. I have two vases in front of me here. One of them is filled with flowers and the other one's not. I think that these are both vessels unto honor, if I understand the scripture correctly. Both of these are vessels unto honor. And in my example, I think we can be either one of these, or sometimes at one time we're one of them, and one time we're the other one. I believe the vessels unto dishonor, perhaps just in a little bit of my meditation, maybe I didn't think about it long enough, but a little bit of my meditation from looking at some of the translations and looking at some of the words in light of the scriptures here, it can be translated, or it has been translated into a vessel for honorable use. In other words, it's a vessel for honorable use. And I should have maybe brought my slop bucket along here to show you what a vessel to dishonor would look like. This I don't think is a vessel, that would be dishonoring vessel, that's meant to be used for dishonorable things. And I don't believe God has, I don't know, maybe I'm not understanding right, but I don't think God has in mind for any one of us, anyone actually, to be vessels unto dishonor. But he does use, I think, of Pharaoh in the Bible. He raised him up to glorify himself, but he did things, and I think that's how the kingdoms of this world are. God sets up kings to do, you know, to bring justice, judgment, and all those things, and execute that. Maybe that's a poor illustration, but that would a little bit describe the task that they have to do. God has also ordained them or put them in their place and so forth, but I believe it's because of the choices that they made that they become a vessel unto dishonor instead of honor. I don't think God predestined them into being not a part of his kingdom. I don't think so at all. It's the choices that we make. Anyway, let's read that. Let's read this passage here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14 through 21. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. It says, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. We'll stop there. Some of the reason why I think, I don't believe God really intends for any one of us to be a vessel unto dishonor is because he basically beckons us, calls us to purge ourselves from these things, from the unclean things, the things that are not good. And then we become a vessel unto honor. Then we become a vessel that is for honorable use. It's a clean vessel. In other words, the fact is, if I would take this vase that's empty here, if I would take it with slop and we would just constantly do that, it would become our slop bucket. We would not really want to use it too much in the kitchen anymore. You know, it wouldn't be very pleasant, at least not to be around. And I think that's how this applies for us as well. We can allow God to cleanse us and to purge us. I have three points that I'd like to highlight this morning out of the thought or the message or here with a vessel unto honor, taking that verse just a bit further. Three points. Point number one being, and I'll repeat these as I go here. Point number one being, the vessel must be clean. That's the first point I'd like to look at. The second point is, the vessel is ready for use. And the third point, a useful vessel doesn't get the glory. And I'll explain some of that a little bit more here. but first of all, the vessel must be clean. If it's going to be used in God's kingdom, useful in God's kingdom, you know, it says meet for the master's use. And another example of a vessel would be this cup. You know, if I would have this morning gotten this cup from our house and it would have been filled with the scraps and garbage from last night's supper or a couple days ago maybe even, and it'd be, and now it would come here and Brother Isaiah or Myron would have brought it and filled it with water without bothering to cleanse it and whatever all, I wouldn't even be tempted to drink out of it. I probably would almost wish to just kind of remove it, you know, just to take it off this pulpit even. That's disgusting. It's not good. And the same thing is true for us. If we are just, if we find ourselves living in sin and in defeat, that's how it is to God. That's really how it is to God. God would love to use us. God would love to dwell in us. God would love to have us be a vessel that can be used to do something good with, just like this vessel with the flowers in it. It's serving its purpose. It's bringing glory to Him. And but it has to be cleansed first. We have to be, every one of us, every last one of us needs to be cleansed. We need to go through the dishwasher or get washed. And there's something that we need to do. It seems like at least these verses highlight that to me, that we need to purge ourselves from these. In other words, there's some dying, like you were sharing this morning, Jariah, this complete surrender, complete allegiance to God's kingdom. And I know I don't know that you mentioned it so much, the part about the cross and the death that it takes to be a part of God's kingdom. There's a dying that has to happen, and that can be that purging. That you know, just in a very practical way for me, when I feel like saying something, I just sometimes need to hold my mouth shut and just not say something, and ask God to give me a right attitude, like you were sharing, maybe a right response when I do share. Those are very practical things that we have to. I'm sure you face those things too. I'm sure I'm not that different that you all don't face those things as well. And we all face them perhaps in slightly different settings, maybe, or slightly different things might affect us slightly different. But I think we all understand that part, that we need to die to the old man and let the Lord purge us from these things that are not good within us. And it really is from God. It really comes from God, that power, the power to do so. Like it says in John chapter 1, it talks about, to as many as believed him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That power is, I think, what is talking about, that purging. It comes from God. It's not just simply some mustered up, and I'm gonna just be quiet because he slapped me on my face. No, but recognizing that's not a right attitude, and pleading to God for help, and experiencing that victory, purging ourselves. A vessel must be clean. Point number one, the vessel must be clean. And we see that in verse 21 that we just read. Also, I'm just going to read a couple other verses that go right along with that. Psalm 119 verse 9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." And some of the very simple way that the Bible even tells us here that we can cleanse our way is to fill our minds with the Word of God. Reading it, just simply. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to that word." And actually, it's more than just reading. It's taking heed to it. It's taking heed to what we read. It's applying it to our life. So you read something. I can get up in the morning, and sure, you know, that's a good thing to do, get up in the morning and read. But if that's all I do, it's not doing what Psalms is talking about. It's taking heed thereto. And the Word of God, it's like water. There's another place that talks about, it's specifically talking to the husband washing his wife, but with the water of the word. And the word is a bit like water. It does that. Even this past week, I know that was for me, with being up there at the Bible boot camp, and you experienced it here about a month or two ago when we had the meetings here, the word, you know, you just have that preached continually. There's something that happens. It causes our hearts to be more tender. It causes our hearts to be more open to God speaking, and even conviction, you know, becomes more real. And then we can apply it. Then we can walk in it. And it washes us, just like taking this vessel and scrubbing it, washing it if it were dirty, and making it ready for the master's use. It's not just to sit there on the shelf. It's not just for that. Where did I find this thing this morning? It was on the shelf. Yesterday, when I brought these flowers home, both of these vessels were sitting up there on the shelf. And maybe we find ourselves sitting up there on the shelf. Maybe we are clean, but we need to patiently just wait for God to use us. And that's a kind of a side rabbit trail there. But I do think we need to, and actually that goes a little bit with the next point, and I'll catch up with that a little later. But cleansing, we need to have that. I would just like to encourage us to have that posture, I guess, that spiritual posture, that we would recognize we need God's continual cleansing. I do. I need God's continual cleansing in my life. And you all probably see that more in me than I do myself. you probably see the areas where I need that cleansing. And I thank you all for your patience, and also for your input in my life. I do believe that's another way that God cleanses us, is through you, through me, through each other, as brothers and sisters. As rough as that is, as hard as that is, we need each other. We need each other. And when I mean that in this context, I mean it in light of even pointing out my failures, even pointing out my weaknesses, and seeing those things. That is a way, and I really believe if all of us can have that heart, that attitude, that is a way that God can bring cleansing that He could do in no other way. Because we're all human. We all have failures. And, you know, and then it's perhaps a little harder to receive that when you know that somebody else is coming with problems and they also have problems. But that is a good way for us to receive the cleansing. It's a good way. And I thank the Lord for His mercy on me and for those opportunities. I do thank the Lord for that, as hard as that may be. But the vessel must be clean, not just so it's a pretty vessel, but so it's ready for use. In 2 Corinthians 6, why don't you turn to that one? 2 Corinthians 6, chapter 6, verse 14. We're going to read a few verses there. A vessel unto honor. We're all vessels this morning, I believe, but I just like to encourage us and put some aspiration within us to be a vessel unto honor. 2 Corinthians 6:14, it says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, I know I jumped across a chapter there, but the reason I did that is because it's referring to the promises that he's talking about before. It says, having therefore these promises, and it's talking about the promises of God dwelling within us, God wanting to make his dwelling place with us. And he says, because of this, he says, dearly beloved, let's cleanse ourselves. Let's cleanse ourselves. There's many verses that talk about Jesus cleansing us, and I believe that. I don't want to take that away, but I do think that there's either a posture of heart that needs to be, in other words, our heart needs to be in a condition that it can be cleansed, and there's also, I think, some things that we can do that help bring that cleansing. In other words, perhaps maybe as simple as just simply opening. If my hand is dirty here this morning, and perhaps my other hand is hurt really, really badly, and I just need somebody else to help wash it, if I hold my hand closed and hold it as a fist, you're not going to be able to clean that very well. It's going to stay dirty, probably. You're not going to be able to do a very good job. And I think the same thing is true as we come to God. Sure, God has the soap we need. God has the water we need. But we need to open our heart. We need to open our hands. I don't know if that makes sense. There's something that we need to do as well. And so the vessel must be clean. If we want to be a vessel, we need to submit ourselves to God's washing. That's just that simple. We have to submit ourselves to God's washing. You know, if we don't, just like a vessel, if this vessel here, this vase, if it would get too bad of a stain on here, which I know these vessels, it's where some of these illustrations break down a little bit. These vessels don't have a mind to hang on to the stain or whatever all. But for us, I believe in our lives, we can hang on to things that we don't want God to really touch, and we don't want to let God cleanse us from. And if we hang on to it, and we just want to keep that filth there, we don't really open our hands to that, then really this vessel, if this thing becomes so stained and so ugly and so, just it doesn't let me clean it, so to speak, where will it go? It'll go to the trash. You know, it'll probably be disposed of. I won't use it anymore. I thank the Lord that God doesn't give up on scrubbing very soon. He doesn't do that. And I praise the Lord for that. But there is the thing that I want to highlight. I don't want to highlight the thing about the stain part, but I do want to highlight the thing we need to open our hearts also to that cleansing and allow God to cleanse us. And that cleansing, for some reason, for me, doesn't just come in the closet. For me, it doesn't just come in the closet. It comes when maybe your family's facing sickness. It comes when the day just doesn't go well. It comes when the job needs to be done, and you needed to have more time, and now it starts raining, and things are just not going well. That's when cleansing happens. Or when, you put in those, you know, you understand those things. It's not, I don't find the cleansing. Yes, there is cleansing also that happens in the closet. I do believe that. As we break ourselves and humble ourselves, the Lord does do that. But that's not the only place that I find cleansing to happen. It's in everyday life. It's where we bump and rub shoulders, and Lord help us. The vessel must be clean. Point number two, the vessel is ready for use. Of course, this one is being used. This vessel here, this vase is being used. But the reason it's being used is because it was ready. If it were, had been on the counter and had been dirty from previous use, I would not have grabbed it. This vessel could have also been used. And I was trying to figure out which one we used, and with the help of my daughters, they helped me decide. So I, we decided. But the point that I want to make here is the vessel was clean, and so now it was ready. Now it was ready. It was sitting on the shelf. It was ready. It was ready. And I'd like to have us think of that as well. All of us. If we can take care of the cleansing, or applying our hearts, opening our hearts, allow the Lord to cleanse us, and just be, have that heart to be ready, to be ready. God will use you. God will use you. For an example, this morning, Brother Caleb, I know he was on earlier on schedule to have the opening. And then things changed. We had plans to have more of us share from that were on at the meetings here. And guess what? When things snowballed differently, that not everyone was going to be able to be here, that was going to be here. Joseph needed somebody to take children's lesson. Caleb was ready. Caleb was ready to serve, ready to... And I trust there was more of you that were ready as well. You know, there's a time that God uses us, and there's a time when we just wait and so forth. But there's throughout this day, I'm sure you're going to get used if you're waiting and ready. I'm sure. And that can be as simple as being at home and the dishes need washed and mom's not feeling good. Or simply reaching out to somebody else that you know is hurting. Maybe today, maybe this afternoon, you know that there's somebody that's struggling. You just sense that there's some burden on their heart. You're being used. It's not only behind the pulpit. You get it? But you're ready to be used. You're ready to be used. You're just ready there. You're waiting to be used. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 through 17. So a vessel that's ready to be used. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly finished unto all good works. That thoroughly finished is furnished. Thoroughly furnished is another way of saying that would be fully equipped. He's fully equipped unto all good works. You're fully prepared. You're fully ready for God to use you. You're fully ready. Your heart is ready. You don't have anything between you and God. You don't have that thing that you remember that you lied about, like you shared, Caleb. You don't have that thing in the back of your mind that you know you need to make that right. You're not in good stand. You don't have peace with God. You're not in that place when you're ready. That's all taken care of, and you have a free conscience and you have a free heart. And yes, we fail, but we go and we make those things right. Like Jariah was sharing, wiping that board. We ask God to cleanse us, and God does that. All scripture is given by inspiration of God And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? So that we can be perfect, it says. So that we can be thoroughly furnished. In other words, fully equipped. So we can do it. So we can do and live how God wants us to live. Ready for use. A vessel ready for use. Also, I'm just going to read real quickly here. Titus chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. It says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities, powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Ready. Just that anticipation. If you're ready to do something, you are sitting on the edge of your seat, in which I'm not expecting you all to sit on the edge of your seat necessarily, but if we would be having a relay race, and Nate, you'd be the next one up here, and we'd be having math problems, and Albert would be the one in competition with you, I think you would be sitting on the edge of your seat, and you'd be ready. That's the picture that I get of being ready to do good works. That's the picture I get. Oh, there's a need over here, and you go and you fill all the water cups this afternoon. And you see perhaps maybe somebody is even so sick they throw up. You run for the bucket and you go clean up this mess. Ready for good works. I know that's an ugly, terrible job to do, but ready to do those things. Ready at service. Ready to be used in God's kingdom. How many of you want to do that? How many of you want to be that? I believe all of us want to. I believe all of us want to. And like I was sharing earlier, we need to prepare our hearts. We need to open our hearts. We need to, and then we can be ready. All of us can be. Every one of us. God wants that for us. I'm not going to just go very much longer here, I don't think. Point number three. I see the time. I have plenty of time to share, but I'm not going to make it longer just because I have plenty of time. But a useful vessel, point number three, a useful vessel doesn't get the glory. I want us to think about that just a little bit. What did you see? Let's see. Michael, would you help me a little bit? What did you see when you saw this up here? What did you see? You saw flowers. Jonathan, what did you see? Huh? You saw flowers. That's interesting. That's really interesting. The flowers are only from here to here. The vase is from here to here. And here's another vase. You never mentioned the empty vase. You never mentioned that. You never mentioned the vase below. But it was an interesting thought that struck me as I was studying into or looking into this vessel unto honor. You know what? When we are there, and when we, you know, that vessel, that the cupboard door was closed, it was just sitting there on the shelf, totally out of sight, out of mind, so to speak, until the need came. I opened the cupboard door. There it is. I picked it off. It was all ready. It was all clean. It was already prepared. I got it out, put the flowers in, and guess what? It still doesn't get any glory. Very little, at least. And, you know, that's fine, brothers and sisters. That's fine. For us, too, when God uses us, are we willing to just simply let God get the glory? Let that be our heart. Let that be our, and actually, that's when God can pick us a lot easier, a lot sooner. He will be a lot sooner to pick us off when we have that attitude. Completely hidden in Christ. Sure, we show up. The vase is there. It's a nice vase. But none of you young ones that were mentioning it, what you saw was the flowers. God's glory. God's glory. That just really stood out to me. Here are a few verses. I won't make you turn to them unless you want to. But a few verses that speak of that very same thing. It's talking about your good works bring glory to God. It's not to yourself, but they bring glory to God. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." John 15:8 says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." That fruit is coming out. The fruit is coming out of your life. But people don't see you. They see something is different about you. They want to have that too. Really, is what happens. There's a connection that happens there. It's beautiful. It's amazing. It's awesome. Romans 15:5-6 says, "Now the patience of God and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth," what? "Glorify God." It's with that work of oneness, it brings glory to God, even the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 13:20-21, it says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever." So, you know, he wants to do that work. He wants to do that perfect thing. He wants to make you perfect. He wants to make you a vessel. He's the one that makes us in the first place. He wants to make us a very beautiful vessel. This vase here is really nice. It's got some neat little bumps on the top there. Nice little I don't even know what you call that design anyway on the top there. Just the maker of that had a really neat idea, and God does that as well. But the beauty, the glory shines when we bring forth good fruit to Him. When we are used, just simply humbly used, that's when the beauty shines. Just like these flowers, they're bringing out the glory of the vase, really. I mean, that vase, I said glory of the vase, the vase is being used to actually bring the glory out of the flowers. If those flowers were just laying on the floor, they would not look as beautiful. And I think the same thing is true in our lives. When our lives are meant to exemplify the glory of God, they're meant to do that. We don't get the glory, but we are meant to walk in such a way so that others can see the glory of God. When it's like this, when it's in a vase, when it's put together, it's beautiful. And there's many other lessons perhaps that you could think of, but just recapping on that again. Are we a vessel unto honor? A vessel unto honor. Point number one was the vessel must be clean. Our hearts, they need to be clean for God to use. After this vessel gets used, and the same thing is true for our life, after this vessel gets used here, it's going to go on the kitchen counter and it's going to have to get washed again. It's going to have to get washed again. We need that continual washing. We do. I do. We need that washing. The vessel needs to be clean. Number two, the vessel is ready for use. After it's washed, it's ready for use. And then the useful vessel doesn't get the glory. It's just a beautiful little thought that struck me. It's fine if we don't get noticed when we are being useful. That's all right. And we need to exercise, let that mind be in us that we don't seek that glory. Because if that vase would try to endeavor to get so much glory, these flowers would lose. God would lose the glory. And that's the same thing is true for us. If we step in and try to make ourselves be something that we're not, it destroys God's picture, the beauty that God wants for us. It really does. Anyway, I will leave it with that and wish you all God's blessings. I will miss not being here for a fellowship meal. I trust the Lord will bless you and just continue to bless your lives. God bless you.